Hi, everybody. I'm Mark Amadeo, principal of the Amadeo Law Firm. Thanks for joining us today for our webinar, Understanding the 2019 Changes to the SBIR and SCTR Programs. Now, before we get started, I'll just say a few words about me and my firm. Now, I've been practicing for over 20 years and am the founding principal of the Amadeo Law Firm. The firm has locations in Washington, D.C. and in Maryland, and its primary focus is on federal government contracting. And the firm's clients have been of all sizes, from startups and entrepreneurs to mid-size and large Fortune 200 companies. And we help clients with all of their government contracting legal needs, whether it's teaming agreements, subcontracting agreements and joint ventures, negotiating with contracting officers, and maintaining FAR and DFARS compliance. Now, the firm also helps clients with protecting their valuable technology in their dealings with the government and with their private sector partners. And we'll provide you with my contact information at the end of the presentation, which we're going to try to keep as short as possible. So if you have any questions on the information that I'm presenting today, feel free to reach out to me after the presentation and send those questions along. So today we're talking about some of the changes that were made this last May to the Small Business Innovation Research and Small Business Technology Transfer Programs. And these are commonly known as the SBIR and SCTR programs. And these changes were made by the SBA when it issued a new policy directive that sets out the basic rules for the program. Now, before we talk about the changes, I want to touch briefly on the STTR and SBIR programs generally. Now, the federal government has a slogan for the programs that it publishes on its website, and that slogan is America's Seed Fund. And that slogan captures well what the programs are about. And basically, the programs are designed to encourage participation by small businesses in research and development that's conducted by and for the federal government. And the goal of the programs is to offer contracts to small businesses to develop technology that not only meets the government's procurement requirements, but that can also be commercialized. So SBIR awards are intended to provide seed money for small businesses to fund their research and development. Now, the SBIR and SCTR programs are competitive small business set-aside programs, and they're authorized under the Small Business Act. But unlike most other federal set-aside programs, most of the rules are not set out in FAR, DFARS, or SBA regulations. Instead, the rules are mostly set out in policy directives that are issued by the SBA. And what sets the STTR program apart from the SBIR program is that the STTR program anticipates that the small business will pair with a research institution, and that's usually a research university, in order to perform research and development. Now, we gave an overview of the SBIR and STTR programs in a webinar that I presented a few years back with my good friend Jennifer Schaus from Jennifer Schaus & Associates. And you can find that webinar, it's called SBIRs, the Good, the Bad, and the Ugly, in our website. And the overview describes the SBIR-STTR solicitations, the different phases of the programs, eligibility requirements for participation, and the benefits of participating in the programs. And these things really haven't changed with the new updates. So if you're new to the SBIR and STTR contracting and would like more general information about the programs, that webinar is a good place to start. Now with that, we're going to get started on our quick review of the changes that the SBA made to the SBIR and STTR programs. So to start off, contractors should know that the new policy directive for the two programs became effective on May 2nd, 2019. And the SBA made it clear in the preamble to the new policy directive that the new directive does not apply to existing contracts that predate this effective date. So this means that contractors that have SBIR or STTR contracts in place still need to be mindful of the old rules. And then the last thing to keep in mind is that for solicitations and contracts that straddle the final rule, In other words, for SBIR and STTR broad agency announcements or solicitations that came out before the final rule did, but where the SBIR and STTR contracts are awarded after, where contractors are going to have to pay close attention to the awarded funding agreements and clauses, particularly the data rights clauses. Because, for example, for DOD's 2019 BAAs that just closed in July, well, those solicitations were actually pre-released on May 2nd, which is the effective date of the new SBIR rules. But those solicitations, when they describe data rights, they refer back to the pre-existing DFARS data rights clause, which still hasn't been updated to incorporate the new data rights rules under the new SBIR-STTR policy directive. So in the case of data rights, again, contractors will need to take a close look at the data rights clauses that are actually incorporated in their awarded contracts. And if necessary, they should get some clarity from contracting officers. Now, the first significant change we'll touch on that the SBA made in May was combining the SBIR and STTR policy directives into one unified directive. Now, before May, there were two largely identical but separate policy directives, one for the SBIR program and one for the STTR program. And now there's only one directive that applies to both. Now, contractors that work with both programs will appreciate the inconvenience of having to keep track of two sets of rules. But again, the unified directive applies to new funding agreements or contracts going forward, which means the old directives still apply to contracts that have already been awarded. So companies that are brand new to SBIR and STTR contracting and intend to target awards under both programs, well, they'll be relieved of the administrative inconvenience of having to look to two different directives for the program rules. But for contracts that have both SBIR and STTR contracts already in place and are targeting additional SBIR or STTR contracts, well, they now have to have all three directives at their fingertips. So the new policy directive contains clarifying updates to several defined terms, as well as a significant number of newly defined terms. Now, we've listed up there on the slide some of the terms that we're not going to get into in any detail today, but contractors should still review them. Now, one of the most interesting definition updates is to the term prototype. And the old directives narrowly defined the term to mean a model of something to be further developed, which includes designs, protocols, questionnaires, softwares, and devices. Now, while the definition in the new directive makes it clear that the scope of what is considered a prototype includes things that go well beyond typical scaled models to include objects or systems and processes that are in any stage of development prior to commercialization. And the new directive also clarifies that if any hardware prototype includes developmental computer programs, well, those computer programs themselves also qualify as prototypes. Now, in its preamble to the new policy directive, the SBA discusses the new definition of prototype, but it also made clarifications on data rights with respect to those prototypes. And we'll talk more about data rights generally later. But with respect to prototypes, the preamble says first that data embedded within a prototype may receive protection as SBIR, STTR data. A second, in these embedded data situations, it's not enough to mark the prototype with protective legends. Contractors must also mark any embedded data. And then lastly, the SBA recognized that the mere release of a prototype can provide other businesses with technical data to commercialize it. So in other words, to clone it. So the SBA added language in other parts of the policy directive that requests agencies to closely monitor the release and use of prototypes. Some of the most significant changes that the SBA made in the policy directives are to SBIR and STTR data rights during the SBIR-STTR protection period. Now, I may refer to SBIR data rights or SBIR protection period during this presentation. So when I refer to SBIR, I mean both SBIR and STTR. Now, the changes that the SBA made to data rights are largely reflected in the SBA's new or updated definitions of those data rights. And these definitions contain important clarifications when compared to the old directives, which provided really no specificity at all on what those rights mean. Now, we'll take a quick detour here. The old SBIR and STTR policy directives, for example, didn't differentiate computer software from technical data. They just lumped together all the data that's generated in the performance of an SBIR and STTR award and called it SBIR technical data or STTR technical data. And when defining SBIR or STTR technical data rights, all the old directive said were that those technical data rights are the rights of an SBIR or STTR awardee in data that's generated and delivered to the government. Now, the old directives did impose some general limitations on the government. They said that the government had to refrain from disclosing the technical data outside the government, especially to competitors, and the government had to refrain from using the technical data to issue future procurement specifications that might be harmful to the SBIR contractor. But in the absence of any specifics in the policy directives, what ended up happening is that two different formulations of SBIR and STTR data rights emerged under FAR for civilian agency contracts and under DFARS for defense agency contracts. And we'll talk more later about those FAR and DFARS clauses later, but getting back to the new policy directive, it defines more specifically what SBIR, STTR data, and data rights are. And as for the definition of SBIR, STTR data, this includes all data generated under an SBIR, STTR contract that is not incidental to contract administration. And these are things like financial cost, pricing, and management information. So SBIR, STTR data includes technical data and computer software that's generated under an SBIR, STTR award. Now, as for the data rights, one interesting twist or change from the old directives is that the new directive defines SBIR data rights not in terms of what the awardee's rights are, but in terms of what the government's rights are. And that's because the new directive essentially says that any rights that are not the government's SBIR data rights belong to the awardee. Now, on the government's rights, the government has SBIR, STTR technical data rights in technical data that's generated during the award, and SBIR, STTR computer rights in computer software that's developed during the award. And there's a carve out for any data that is form, fit, and function data, OMIT data, and this is really important, and any unmarked SBIR, STTR data. And these are all subject to the government's unlimited rights. So the technical data and computer software rights that are defined in the new directive are generally like the limited data rights that the government gets under FAR and DFARS for data that's delivered to the government, but that was developed at private expense. Now, specifically, during the protection period, the government can only use or share the SBIR, STTR technical data or computer software within the government. And even then, it can't use the data or software for procurement, manufacturing, or commercial purposes. Now, the definition for SBIR, STTR Computer Software Rights provides more specifics for how the government may exercise its SBIR STTR Computer Software Rights. And specifically, the government can use the software in government computers and can modify, adapt, or combine it with other government software, provided it's marked as SBIR STTR data. It can archive the data, and it can distribute the data to other agencies that are then also subject to SBIR STTR data rights limitations. And one more thing, these two rights, SBIR STTR technical data rights and SBIR STTR computer software rights, these two are supposed to be applied uniformly to both civilian and defense agencies. So for contracts going forward, there should not be any differences in SBIR, STTR rights, data rights clauses. And in fact, the policy directive spells out a data rights clause that civilian and defense agencies can use. Now, under the SBIR, STTR, technical data and computer software rights, the government may release data subject to those rights to non-government third parties under very limited circumstances. First, if the SBIR awardee has agreed in writing to the release, or second, if there is a non-disclosure agreement in place between the government and the third party, and the third party is performing a specific function for the government. And we've listed those functions up there on the slide. Now, on the non-disclosure agreement, the new policy directive contains several requirements that an NDA must meet to be used by an agency. And these include that the non-government entity must agree that its use is limited to the specific authorized activities, that the third-party entity must be prohibited from using, modifying, or disclosing the data without the government or the SBIR awardee's written permission, that the third-party entity agreed to destroy or retain the or return the data at a specified time, that the third party be prohibited from using the data for commercial purposes, and that the third party ensure that its employees and contractors are bound to the same non-disclosures as the third party is. So the new directive also includes a newly defined term, unlimited rights. And that is because, as we mentioned before, there's a carve out in the definition of SBIR STTR data rights for unmarked SBIR data, form, fit, and function data, and OMIT data. And the carve out provides the government with unlimited rights. And these unlimited rights are fairly expansive, permitting the government generally to do whatever it wants with the data and to authorize a third party to do what the government wants with the data. Now, one of the most significant changes in the new policy directives is to the protection period. And this is the period in which the government's rights are limited by the SBIR, STTR data rights rules, and in which the government has to protect the data from unauthorized use or disclosure. Now, under the old policy directive, the period had to be no less than 4 years. But that period could be extended through the protection period of a subsequent SBIR award if the data was, quote, protected and referenced, end quote, under the subsequent award. So essentially, by using or referencing data developed in a prior SBIR contract in a future SBIR award, the protection period for that data could be extended perpetually. Well, those extensions are no longer available. Instead, the SBA has adopted a flat 20-year protection period, which runs from the date of the award. So what happens after the protection period? Well, under the new directive, after the protection period is over, the government has license rights to use the SBIR STTR data or to authorize others on its behalf to use the data for government purposes. And government purposes is a newly defined term, which means any activity in which the government is a party, including competitive procurements. But under the new directive, the government purpose rights don't include rights to use, modify, or disclose technical data or software for commercial purposes, or the right to authorize others to use, modify, or disclose the data or software for commercial purposes. So we mentioned earlier that the new policy directives are effective on new SBIR and STTR awards going forward. So that means that the old rules and the old policy directives and data rights clauses still apply to SBIR and STTR contracts that are in place. So we'll touch on those briefly now. For civilian agency awards or contracts, the data rights are generally found in FAR 52.22720, and in particular, the SBIR rights notice that is included in the clause and that contractors have to place on SBIR data that's delivered to the government. And that notice says that the SBIR data that is subject, first, it says that the SBIR data is subject to a 4-year protection period. And during that time, the government can use the data for government purposes. It also says that the government can't make any disclosures to third parties without the SBIR awardee's permission, except to certain support contractors. Now, after the protection period, the government can still use the data for government purposes, but it can also authorize others to use the data on behalf for government, on its behalf for government purposes. Now, for defense agency awards, the data rights are generally found in DFARS 252.227.7018. And that DFARS clause indicates that the SBIR data is subject to a 5-year protection period. And during that time, the government has limited rights in technical data and restricted rights in computer software that are developed during the SBIR award. Now, the limited rights permit the government to use, modify, or release data within the government, but it may not, without written permission of the SBIR company, disclose the data to third parties or authorize others to use the data. Now, there are limited restrictions to this prohibition that allow the government to disclose data or authorize others to use the data for emergency repairs or to government support contractors and to foreign governments. Now, the restricted rights on software permit the government to use software one computer and one terminal at a time, and they permit the government to transfer the program to another agency if it notifies the SBIR company and destroys copies of the software that remain in its possession. And the restricted rights also allow the government, under specific conditions, to permit service and support contractors to use the software to correct problems in the software or for repairs and overhaul in related hardware. Now, after the protection period, the government can use, has unlimited rights in technical data and software, and these unlimited rights are again fairly expansive. They allow the government to use, modify, or release and disclose the data and software in any manner and for any purpose, and they permit the government to authorize others to do the same. Now, one thing to keep in mind is that these rights after the protection period are completely unrestricted. They're not bound to government purposes like under the FAR clause. So the way that contractors put the government on notice that data or software delivered to the government is SBIR, STTR data or software, and therefore should be treated under the SBIR, STTR data rights rules, is by placing markings or legends on the data or on transmittal documents or on storage containers. So what if a contractor makes mistakes or forgets to put a marking with the data? Well, technically, the old policy directives were silent on this. So the preamble to the new directive is sort of correct when it says that currently there is no time limit on when an awardee may correct or add omitted markings. But the FAR clause that we just talked about at 52.227-20 does have a six-month deadline to request permission to place notices on data that's missing markings altogether, although this deadline can be extended if a contractor shows good cause. Now, it is true that the FAR clause doesn't spell out a deadline on correcting incorrect notices. And the DFARS clause at 252.227-7018 does not specify a time limit for a contractor to correct a missing or mistaken notice on its own, but it does have a six-day time limit on correcting a non-conforming marking after a contracting officer notifies the SBIR company of the non-conforming marking. In any event, under the new directive, the SBA provides a very clear six-month deadline across the board for civilian and defense SBIR STTR awards. So contractors have 6 months after they deliver data or software to request to have a correct notice or legend placed on the data if the required notice is omitted. And this seems to cover instances when a notice is missing altogether and when some kind of notice is included, but that it is not the required notice that is that's set out in the new policy directive. Now, this six-month deadline may be extended if a contractor shows good cause for the extension. Now, why is all of this important? Well, the policy directives say point blank that in order to get protections that are set out in the data rights rules, contractors have to place correct notices on the data. And as we said earlier, unmarked data is subject to unlimited rights. And the new directive also says that the government assumes no liability for any access, release, or modifications to data that don't have the correct markings. So a Phase 3 award is an award that derives from, extends, or completes work done during prior SBIR funding agreements or contracts. And the purpose of a Phase 3 award is to give a business that developed technology in Phase 1 and Phase 2 the chance to commercialize it in Phase 3 through a prime contract or subcontract. And there's a congressional mandate that says that federal agencies that intend to pursue the production of a technology that was developed by a small business under Phase 1 or Phase 2 should, to the greatest extent practicable, issue a Phase 3 award to the small business that developed the technology. And this mandate is also stated in the old policy directives. Now, despite the congressional mandate and the mandate in the old policy directives, the SBA continued to hear stories that Phase 3 awards were not going to the small businesses that developed the underlying technologies in Phases 1 and 2. So the new policy directives outline steps that agencies have to take to meet the mandates, requirements of making Phase 3 awards to Phase 1 and Phase 2 prior awardees to the greatest extent practicable. Now, first, if a new agency requirement is related to technology that was developed under the SBIR program, the agency must consider a follow-on award by performing market research to see if the prior awardee is willing and capable of doing the work. And if the prior awardee is willing and able, the agency must negotiate with the prior awardee in good faith. And if the agency determines it can pursue Phase 3 work with the prior awardee, it must make the award as a non-competitive sole source award. Now, if the agency determines it should not make an award to the prior awardee, it must document its decision and send a copy of that decision to the SBA. But even then, it must look for ways to provide preferences to the prior awardee, for example, by providing incentives to prime contractors to award subcontracts to the prior awardee. Now, the last change we're going to talk about today is specific to the STTR program. Now, under the old STTR policy directive, STTR awardees could only partner with one research institution. And this limitation was removed under the new policy directive. and awardees can now partner with multiple institutions. But at least one partnering research institution must perform at least 30% of the R&D work. So I just want to end with a few closing thoughts. Now, the new policy directive provides some important and badly needed clarifications, and particularly with regard to data rights and phase three follow-on awards. But the application of the old directives to existing SBIR and STTR awards means that contractors are going to have to scrupulously track their SBIR and STTR awards to the right rules. Now, this is going to be especially important in tracking the data rights for data developed under pre-amendment contracts. The old SBIR data rights, including the ability to extend the protection period with subsequent SBIR contracts, continue to apply to the existing contracts. So contractors should have in place or put into place a system for tracking their SBIR, STTR data that includes when the data was generated, under which contract, and which rights apply. And the elimination of the protection period extensions for new SBIR and STTR contracts, well, that elimination was an unfortunate change. I don't think there was any support for that change within the small business community. And although part of the rationale that was given for the SBA, by the SBA for this change, was to relieve agencies and small businesses of the administrative burden of tracking their protection periods, it's not clear to me how tracking data rights for 20 years is substantially easier. But even without the protection period extensions, the SBIR and STTR programs still retain unique benefits for small businesses looking to fund the development of emerging technologies and that don't want to give up equity to do that. Well, that's all I have for my presentation. I want to thank everyone for listening. And if you have any questions about the presentation or the information that was presented, feel free to reach out to me and send those questions along.